is this it? The mayor says we're now just days away from a big Royals announcement after the Council and Parks Board greenlight a new Royals ballpark next to Crown Centre. The move isn't sitting well with some members of the council who are threatening a petition drive to force a public vote.
I think it's unfortunate that the mayor and my colleagues who are supporting this measure are doing it behind closed doors without a vote of the people.
Also this week, will the Royals buy Crown Centre? It's an intriguing new storyline as the team fleshes out its plans for a new stadium entertainment district. 110 National Guard troops ordered onto the streets of Kansas City for the World Cup. Part of the governor's robust plan to maintain law and order during the games. But what happens if there are unruly fans? Turns out the city's new temporary jail won't be ready after all. And Kansas lawmakers finally head for home with new laws that make it a crime to come within 25 feet of an ICE agent and crackdowns on student walkouts. We look at the biggest winners and losers of this year's session. Those stories and the rest of the week's news straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Francis Family Foundation, through the discretionary fund of David and Janice Francis, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello and welcome. I'm Nick Haynes. Glad to have you with us again on our weekly journey through the Metro's most impactful, confusing, and downright head-scratching local news stories. Hopping on board the Week in Review bus with us this week, KCUR news host and senior political analyst Brian Ellison. From our Metro's newest newspaper, Next Page KC, Eric Wesson. Former Star reporter Dave Helling. And from the world of television news, KSHB 41 political reporter Charlie Keegan. Now, so is this it? The mayor says we're now just days away from a big Royals announcement after the Council and Parks Board greenlight a new Royals ballpark next to Crown Center.
Now it's time to get the Royals across the finish line and secure Kansas City's future as one of the most desirable sports destinations in the country.
And you don't have money to come up with the buses, but you can wave a wand and now you billions of dollars out of nowhere.
A snapshot of the testimony this week on That's Ballpark. Last week, the Royals were uncommittal on this project. They were keeping their options open, saying they needed to learn more. Has that now changed? And are they now fully on board with Washington Square Park being the next home, Charlie?
I wouldn't say they're fully on board, at least publicly yet, but we did see Royals brass at City Hall this week. So that's a good sign that they're interested in this. The president of real estate development, Brooks Sherman, no relation to John Sherman, did say that there is a great project and that will ultimately come to pass.
Yeah, so what?
That's promising.
More than promising. That sounds like this is a done deal.
Well, I think we all speculated, Nick, that the mayor would not have made this announcement unless he had some sense that the Royals were going to buy into it. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense to make an announcement. And let's face it, for all the Royals sort of hemming and hawing, it was their last option. I mean, North Kansas City was, it appeared to be off the table. Kansas written off long ago, both at the state and local level. So this is the last train to leave the station. So it shouldn't be a surprise. Now, it was a surprise to me, maybe not my colleagues, that the Royals didn't testify Tuesday. They might have stood up and said, hey, this is a, you know, we're interested in this. Instead, they sat apparently in the back of the room and didn't make any public comments. That is to come.
Our viewers had a lot of questions about what happened this week. You know, we heard that the mayor says the city will commit up to $600 million with no new taxes required, using bonds and what are called tax increment financing. He claims you, if you don't go to the ballpark or the surrounding entertainment district, you wouldn't actually pay anything.
So if you're somebody who was angry in 2024 and you live in Lee's Summit, Grandview, or South Kansas City, or Midtown, or Downtown, right, you can say, if I never go to the ballpark, I'm not paying for this team. I think that is something that is strong for us. And I think, frankly, that's going to be very fair for our taxpayers while being fair for our team.
Okay. Is that true, Brian?
Well, it depends. It depends what the words mean. I mean, I think it is.
He is an attorney.
Well, it is. It is true that tax increment financing works by taking funds that are raised in a particular district and applying them toward a particular cause. But the question is, what is the impact on the rest of the city's finances? So if money, for example, is being spent in that district now instead of in other places, that's money that is being directed to a particular cause rather than what it would have gone to otherwise. Presumably, city services, education, whatever that might be.
If you don't buy a Royals t-shirt at the neighboring entertainment district or a beer at the ballpark, you won't pay anything, according to the mayor.
To say that there won't be any tax money used in it, I have to see that to believe it, because you still have to do infrastructure.
Now, the move isn't sitting well with some members of the council who are threatening a petition drive now to force a public vote.
I think it's unfortunate that the mayor and my colleagues who are supporting this measure are doing it behind closed doors without a vote of the people, and that they're not valuing the sentiment and what really is the respect of the voters. The voters made their voices clear, and as elected officials, we should respect those voters.
Is there a petition drive underway, Eric?
I believe there may be one coming from the KC tenants in that group, and the people with the minimum wage. I think they might be putting one together. They were the ones that basically testified, and honestly, it was the same testimony they gave in the 2024. Billionaires are demons. They're bad people. They can pay for this themselves. So it's the same thing. But I don't think that the issue is the same, because you're talking about voting for a tax, and there won't be any tax in this process.
Could this derail the project, Dave, at this last moment?
Well, we haven't seen the petition. We don't know if they have enough signatures, when it might go on the ballot. Would it be in August? Would it be November? Would it be next year? There is a some undefined point of no return. Once they start turning dirt, it's a lot harder to stop a project than it is at this point in time. But it won't take much to get the signatures they need. And the ordinance that they might propose would be relatively simple. And if that's the case, we could have a vote going forward. One other quick thing I want to throw in. When we talk about the tax impact of the using the taxes generated in the district, you have to count the fact that Kauffman is closing and will not provide any more revenue to the city of Kansas City, and Arrowhead won't either in 4 or 5 years. So if you have to backfill that amount with whatever revenue you raise from the new facility, that's much less than available for the debt service, which means you have to go to the general fund, which means taxpayers are paying for it.
You know, about the petition, Nick, I don't think it is possible, but the way I understand the city charter, for them to challenge the act that is putting this, moving this forward right now. They have to create some kind of new petition, new ordinance that prohibits building stadiums or something along those lines. Remember that the voters on such a vote would not be the same pool of voters
right.
who voted last time. That was
right.
all of Jackson County. All of rural Jackson County got to vote no on moving the stadium from the K to downtown Kansas City. I think right. there's going to be a lot more support for a downtown stadium in the city limits of Kansas City, and I think
just
that,
quickly,
I don't know that ordinance or that initiative would pass.
Kansas City proper voted down the tax in 2024, even independent of what happened
in
the rest of
They did by a smaller margin,
yeah.
but I do think we're going to be talking
just
about some
clear.
Very different
yeah,
issues. That's right.
I've heard from a number of people this week who also said they've been calling the governor to demand a public vote on the stadium. Apparently that's coming from the Save Our Stadium group that was behind the 2024 effort. But do you think Mike Keogh would do anything? I mean, would he, for instance, say, you wouldn't get any state money unless there was a public vote?
I do not see Governor Mike Keogh.
You were there
that.
With him this week.
Yeah, I saw Governor on Monday. And no, he's fully supportive of putting public funds toward a stadium project. He called a special session in 2025 to bring all the legislators back to pass this Show Me Sports Investment Act that would allow the state to contribute money without a public vote. So I think he's happy with what he has set up right now.
I think Kansas City is right now in a do-or-die situation with this stadium. And I don't know if a vote by the general public would vote it down under the guise that we've already lost the Chiefs, so we would wind up losing this team, too. I don't see people voting.
And a big distinction, though, in 2024, you were asked to have a sales tax that would come out
right.
of your pocket. This is being viewed as something that isn't going to increase your tax.
Right, although right. the sales tax in 2024 was an extension of an existing tax, so the argument was made that it really isn't
okay.
going to cost you any additional money. One other thing just technically to remember, Nick, if there was a petition drive and a vote to stop the stadium by ordinance, that ordinance can be overturned by the city council immediately with a vote of 9 members.
And here's something that you really have to take into consideration. Next year, we'll have a new city council, because all the people on this city council will either term out or be leaving. So we got a new city council that's going to be underway, and you're going to have a new Jackson County legislature, too, and they'll be a part of this.
And next year, you'll also have a new mayor.
And a new mayor.
Have a new mayor.
Absolutely. And remember, we have Lucas Oil Stadium, for instance, in Indianapolis. Could this be Lucas Toil Stadium for all the work he has put into this? No, you're not seeing that?
Okay. I don't
nicely
see that.
Done.
All right. Well, all right. Now, also this week, will the Royals buy Crown Center? It's an intriguing new storyline as the team fleshes out its plans for a new stadium entertainment district that could go in next door. The Business Journal reporting that the whole family could sell all or parts of the Crown Center complex, including its parking garages and surface lots, to the Royals. If that were the case, wouldn't this deliver half the project without the Royals having to build anything?
It sounds intriguing, right? But part of me almost wonders if you're the Halls, you know, owning Crown Center, and they build a stadium right there, you're about to make a bunch of money with more visitors coming to your Crown Center. Why would you sell right now?
Well, one of the reasons I think it's interesting, and they said the Business Journal doing quite extensive reporting on this this week, is that what Dave Helling said recently on this program is that John Sherman may be fatigued as the owner of the Royals and may be looking for a different relationship in terms of the ownership of that group. Could the whole family come in as potential owners of this?
Well,
that would make it more sensible.
There are all kinds of potential owners for the Royals at some level. I mean, the group that bought them paid $1 billion. That's a lot of money, and finding someone to pony up that kind of cash will be difficult, particularly since the financing for this stadium appears to commit the Royals to about $750 million in just the stadium.
Yep.
And then the cost of Crown Center on top, and then the cost of rehabbing Crown Center, when you would not theoretically be able to use the tax revenue. You can't have two TIF districts. That's a real piece of the pie to swallow, seems to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of challenges in imagining how this would come to fruition. Although it does make some sense, too, when you think back about 120 years ago when we first started talking about the stadium, that what the Royals really envisioned was a whole village, a whole complex of businesses and maybe office parks and things associated with even when they were talking about other sites. Crown Center has almost all of that right on the spot. So it would make sense with the original vision.
And the idea from the district was to generate revenue for the team, to make it easier to get money.
Right.
Well, if you're spending $750 on the stadium, $500 on Crown Center rehab, the math is... We need to pay attention to the mathematics.
Okay,
billionaires have options. Never forget that. Billionaires have options.
I wouldn't know that.
If you look at any of the comments on any of the stories about this Royals complex, one of the big words you see on it, of course, is parking. But our viewers are a little bit more sophisticated, more nuanced on that. We're hearing lots of questions about from people like Richard, who ask, what on earth is going to happen to the historic statue of George Washington in the park? And what about the Korean War Memorial there? And Mary asks, what about the hundreds of mature trees? Are they all about to come down?
Well, the statues actually came up during the Parks Board meeting on Tuesday, and Parks Board didn't have an answer, but at least it's part of their discussions. They're thinking about that, and Councilman Nathan Willett introduced an ordinance or resolution to, you know, direct the city manager to find a new suitable location for the Korean War Memorial.
Now, the tree issue is very important to us right now, because I don't know if you know this, but we're about to release a new documentary on the politics of trees in the metro and the battle between concrete and canopy in Kansas City. Everyone claims to love trees, so why aren't our cities doing more to protect them?
I mean, they're tearing everything down. It's like they're moving the city out and out and out.
We need more housing. We need it to be more affordable.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes. Before it hits the air, be the first to see our latest documentary, The Politics of Trees, Tuesday night at 6 at the Kansas City Plaza Library. And join me afterwards to meet the filmmaker and have your tree questions answered by the experts. All right, I look forward to seeing you Tuesday night then at the Plaza Library. I look forward to shaking your hand there. We've already got a huge response to this, so people do love trees. In other news, 110 National Guard troops have been ordered onto the streets of Kansas City for the World Cup, part of the governor's new robust plan to maintain law and order during the games. But what happens if there are unruly fans? Turns out the city's new temporary jail won't be ready after all. The city even relaxed many of the normal building codes to make this happen. They threw more money at it to make the project move faster. So what's been the holdup?
The holdup has been the location. That was the biggest delay on where they were going to put it at, and the clock was ticking. So now, you know, access to material is different now because you have the war going on. So I think that was the biggest delay in getting it together.
And there have been concerns also not just about the infrastructure, but how do you even staff this?
Right, so you got to have new detention center employees, which is something that Kansas City doesn't have because it hasn't had a detention center since 2009 or so. So the council did create a new department of community public safety or something that'll hire these folks. But when I asked Police Chief Stacey Graves about this on Monday, she said that she's hopeful that the World Cup crowd doesn't require going to jail.
In fairness, there is some hope that it may be partially operational. It just may not be fully operational by that time. But remember that part of the touted benefits of this space was that it would also be around after the World Cup. And so the city doesn't have to write off the entire thing as a failure if it isn't fully operational in a week.
Yeah, and speaking of security for the World Cup, if you hear lots of massive explosion noises, military helicopters overhead, massive amounts of security vehicles and ambulances and fire trucks zooming into Kansas City on Tuesday, that's because they're doing a full-scale emergency preparation with people, even with makeup, putting blood on their faces to be a scenario before this World Cup starts.
Right, it's part of that kind of preparation exercises that they've been doing here or will be doing, and just trying to get everybody on the same page. We have so many different law enforcement agencies coming together to help out on this. They want to make sure that there's that communication factor there, that folks know what to do should the worst happen.
So you have been warned Tuesday, if you hear all of those loud noises and a massive military presence, we haven't been invaded. Now, when we're trying to present a global image around the world just ahead of the World Cup, why was Kansas City Mayor Quinton Lucas making headlines this week for statements that will make overseas visitors nervous and some local leaders wince? An exhaustive report in Britain's Guardian newspaper quoted the Kansas City mayor, calling the city's police department, quote, colonial, anti-black, and anti-almost everything we stand for. Even the reporter points out that in most cities, speaking this way about the local police would lose someone an election. So what's behind these latest pointed words, Eric, and why is he speaking about it so candidly in a British newspaper, just as the city is trying to actually get Europeans to come over here, not deter them from coming?
Well, he didn't really say anything wrong. I just think his timing probably was a little off, but he's a lame duck, so he didn't have to worry about being reelected. But he does have to coexist with the police board since he is a member of the police board. And what is he trying to do to change that culture that's in the department?
But it is interesting. It comes at a time when Democratic strategists are telling candidates, you know, to downplay talk of things about DEI, downplay talks about things that attack police or climate change. And he's weighing in right at the center of that battle internationally.
It is interesting. I don't have any inside knowledge on this, Nick, but I do think that The Guardian is pretty widely read in the U.S. as well, especially on the left. And I think it might be interesting to wonder if he is trying to build his reputation among American progressives and saying things that will get attention.
And yeah, it should have been a thing where he said some of them and not just give the whole department a blanket sweep with
part
that.
Part of that is some resentment left over from the state control of the department, which all mayors chafe at, and this one particularly. The other thing to keep in mind, Nick, is for all the statements that may or may not scare visitors away from Mayor Quinton Lucas, the other parts of the national environment are much more impactful on the chance of people coming to Kansas City for the World Cup. The pictures of ICE enforcement across the country, statements from the White House, statements from other members of Congress about immigrants and bonds that might have to be posted, and we need your search history on the internet. I mean, those things are all, I'm fascinated to see how many people actually show up after all of this chatter in the background about these
I don't think games. It'll be 600,000.
No, I don't either.
It could be a million, Eric. We'll have to wait and see on that
one. I would be totally shocked.
Okay. We're going to play this tape back after the tournament, okay? Now, Kansas lawmakers are back home after a whirlwind finish of this year's legislative session. Schools, cities, and universities are all still sorting through the fallout from a late-night burst of votes that stretched into the early hours of Saturday morning. So what happened? Well, for starters, Kansas now has a new criminal offense on the books. You can now go to jail if you come within 25 feet of an ICE agent after you've been ordered to back up. In schools, a crackdown is coming. Beginning this fall, districts could be penalized if students walk out during the school day. And lawmakers enact the Charlie Kirk free speech law, which means public universities like KU could be on the hook financially if they block conservative groups and speakers. And then there's what didn't happen. No redistricting to squeeze out Sharice Davids. And despite months of buildup and repeated promises, property tax relief, the session's top priority, never quite made it across the finish line. What went so terribly wrong on that?
Well, property taxes, fixing property taxes, is enormously complicated and difficult and expensive. And the Republicans, for all the talk about property tax relief, were unable to settle on a specific approach. Some wanted to use money from the state general fund to compensate local governments. Others said, no, let's have this sort of petition process that was jury-rigged, to say the least. One other quick comment, Nick, to pass the free speech law about Charlie Cook, just after passing a law that prohibits high schoolers from walking out of class, I will note the irony in all of that.
It wasn't apples to oranges. Charlie, what's the biggest change people will notice as a result of this legislative session?
Well, yeah, I guess the biggest change was that what they won't notice is any change in their property taxes. That seems to be the number one thing that people talk to me about when it comes to what they expect their government to do.
Yeah, and by the way, Missouri is still in session, so they got another month left of that, haven't they?
Right, and some pretty big news this week when after midnight on Wednesday night, the Missouri Senate passed a bill 18-11, that's a lot of absences counted in that vote, that would appear to move the ball forward on Governor Mike Kehoe's plan to eliminate the state's property tax, but not in the way that the House vote did, and with a lot of uncertainty left to figure out later. This plan would put on the ballot the opportunity to replace the property tax with sales taxes, but it doesn't name what those taxes would be. Future legislative sessions would have to identify the specific sales taxes that would be increased to offset property tax decreases. It takes out the House's plan, which would automatically start lowering the property tax.
Unlike the Royals ballpark, though, this would have to come before the voters to decide finally themselves.
It would all start with a vote of the voters this November.
Yeah. Right, but if the voters did agree to this shift from income taxes to sales taxes, that would have an enormous impact on the Royal Stadium and the financing for that, because it's going to rely to a large degree on sales taxes. So that's something to keep your eye on as well.
So you might be paying 32% on
that. The hot dog is $2 for the hot dog and $2.50 for the tax.
I mean, the interesting thing is that Democrats all voted against this in the Senate, but they didn't block it. They actually barely spoke against it. And so it's interesting what sort of deals were cut there to allow this to go forward and where we think this is going to end up before the end of the session.
Now, I know many of you are still trying to get your arms around soccer, with the World Cup just weeks away. But did you know that the new CPKC Stadium here in town is being transformed into a rugby arena this week as four of the world's most successful women's rugby teams take the field in Kansas City? Now, Mayor Lucas says the moment carries big stakes as the city learns whether it's being picked to host the Men's Rugby World Cup in 2031 and the Women's Rugby World Cup in 2033. Lucas says if our bid is successful, the games will be played at the newly vacated Arrowhead Stadium. The mayor is convinced the venue will remain a premier destination for major events even after the Chiefs move to Kansas. Really, Charlie?
Maybe for that 2031 Men's Rugby World Cup, but by 2033, I don't think that sales tax that funds the stadium maintenance right now, that ends in 2031.
But they've had concerts and things out there, and there could be, you know, truck poles and other things like that. That's not going to be enough?
I don't think it'd be enough, no.
Notice that this event is happening at CPKC Stadium. That is a much smaller arena, and I think the cost of maintaining Arrowhead is a whole different conversation.
I did notice also this week in a story about the Star, talking about, you know, never mind how Arrowhead will go away, the name Truman Sports Complex would go away. So it's going to have to be called something else. So again, the Truman Data Center?
or something else. And in fact, the county executive, Phil Lavoda, appointed the members of the task force this week that will try and figure out ways to do what has not been done in 50 years at the complex, which is actually bring a development that's not a stadium.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you put a program like this together every week, you can't get to every story grabbing the headlines. What was the big local story we missed?
Big cleanup underway after tornadoes ripped through our region. Kansas City's richest man making a $30 million commitment to opening 10 inclusive and accessible playgrounds across the metro, starting at Roy Blunt Luminary Park, now scheduled to break ground later this year.
What I love about this is going to make Kansas City the gold standard in the world for inclusivity.
And the World Cup trophy is in town, part of a thank you tour of host cities. It'll be at the Power and Light District Saturday and Sunday.
willing to wait 3 hours in line to go and see the World Cup trophy at the Power and Light District this weekend. Is that your big story missed?
No, that's not on my agenda or what to do this weekend, but I'll get down there to see him. The thing I thought about was Willett as campaign.
The city councilman,
City councilman running for Congress. They already started to hit ads on him already. This kind of early, but they already start putting out ads against him, and they're those dark color ads to make him look so sinister. I thought that was interesting already.
Brian.
Well, you mentioned the trophy from the World Cup coming to town. There was another World Cup story this week, KCUR reported about the cost of transit in Kansas City to get to and from the various World Cup events is way lower than in many other cities.
Yes.
There's been outcry, of course, in some large cities, $100 round trip to get out to even to the stadiums on top of outrageous ticket prices. But in Kansas City, $15 round trip and free to come in from the outskirts of the city into the center for FanFest and those things. It's actually pretty interesting.
Which is why we're probably going to get up to 1.5 million visitors coming, Eric, because of the cheap bus fares compared to other cities.
I went on the FIFA news machine as well this week with the release of the entertainment who's going to be performing at the Fan Festivals. They announced that on Thursday.
Were there any big names that we weren't expecting?
Well, there were some bigger names, maybe Chainsmokers, Flo Rida, international names, but also Kansas City names, Tech
No, no Tom Jones, Lady Gaga. Okay, all right.
But small local ones are getting a chance.
And that's going to be a free event, too, though, that everybody's going to get to experience.
Yeah, there's
as long as you go through a metal detector and have a QR code with your
register
phone.
Register in advance.
Yes. Dave?
In other parts of the country, there's a real hassle going on now about how much metropolitan transportation systems are being asked to subsidize the World Cup. In New Jersey, the governor saying, we didn't sign off on any of this to spend tens of millions of dollars for transit. So that remains an issue across the country as well as in Kansas City.
And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed courtesy of Charlie Keegan from KSHB and from the helm of our Metro's newest newspaper, Next Page KC, Eric Wesson, KCUR's Brian Ellison, and Mr. Kansas City Stack on Substack, Dave Helling. And I'm Nick Haynes. From all of us here at Kansas City PBS, be well, keep calm, and carry on.